This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a car. It's the two-door coupe that was there for your first drive. The hatchback that took you cross-country and back. And the minivan that tackles the weekly carpool. For the cars you couldn't live without, trust Amica Auto Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
School plans in a pandemic.
I'm afraid, I'm angry, and I'm sad.
Facebook deletes president's claim.
Children are almost immune from this disease.
75 years after first A-bomb attack.
An American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup.
What's the day's day?
Outrage at a school board meeting in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, as teachers beg for a delay in the start of the school year. The plan is for virtual and in-person learning to begin next week.
I have not received any training or support as to how to teach simultaneously in-person students and online learners.
But it's a different story for this teacher in Pasco County, Florida.
I am thrilled that we will be going back to school and that I'll be back in the classroom.
But there is plenty of confusion and concern across the country from teachers and parents as decisions are being weighed and made. Here's CBS's Adriana Diaz.
15 of the nation's largest 25 school districts will be online only, affecting more than 3.4 million kids. And in schools that have reopened, coronavirus cases are already surfacing. Over 100 students in Mississippi are now quarantining after six students and a staff member tested positive. And at a school in North Carolina, part of a network of schools that Vice President Pence visited and praised for reopening, all fourth grade students and a teacher are now quarantining after a student there tested positive. But for some parents whose kids must learn from home, there are growing concerns they could fall behind.
Definitely worried about his education. I'm not a teacher. I feel like online can only teach so much.
White House correspondent Weijia Jiang tells us what President Trump said about children and the coronavirus has drawn action from Facebook.
If you look at children, children are almost, and I would almost say definitely, but almost immune from this disease.
For the first time ever on Wednesday, Facebook removed a post from President Trump's page, comments the company called harmful misinformation. Still, Mr. Trump defended the comment.
If you look at children, I mean, they're able to throw it off very easily. They may get it, but they get it, and it doesn't have much of an impact on them.
On the race to a cure, Dr. Anthony Fauci tells Reuters he's optimistic a vaccine is within reach.
We likely are going to have maybe tens of millions of doses in the early part of the year. But as we get into 2021, the manufacturers tell us that they will have hundreds of millions and likely a billion doses.
Now to Los Angeles, where Mayor Eric Garcetti plans to target large house parties that have gone on despite city pandemic regulations. Violators could lose power and water.
By turning off that power, shutting down that water, we feel we can close these places down, which usually are not one-time offenders, but multiple offenders.
Well, millions of people in the path of this week's big East Coast storm are in a powerless situation. 2 million homes in several states don't have power. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says major utilities weren't prepared.
Hundreds of millions of dollars doing a lot of the things that I would have hoped limited the scale of the damage. But this is one of the worst outages we've ever had. And to be blunt, I don't see much progress.
Now overseas, CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb is in Beirut, Lebanon, with the latest on the aftermath of that huge explosion that killed at least 135 people and injured thousands of others.
How such a vast quantity of such volatile material was allowed to rot for over 6 years in a warehouse so close to the city center is still being investigated. Many here are blaming the country's ruling elite after reports surfaced suggesting officials had repeatedly warned the dangerous chemicals needed to be removed. So few were spared, including little Sophie in intensive care, whose brain is bleeding from shattered glass. Her parents say they also lost their home.
I tried to protect her, but I couldn't do.
Major League Baseball has sent revised pandemic protocols to all clubs. USA Today says the measures threaten suspensions if players or staff members repeatedly or flagrantly violate them. This includes wearing face masks. At least 33 members of the Cardinals and Marlins have tested positive for COVID-19. The latest word on automated driving systems is they don't always work.
They were meant to make driving easier. Now a new study says partially automated driving systems may have a few glitches. Research from AAA shows most of the problems are with the systems that keep the cars in their lanes. Others had trouble spotting broken down vehicles in their path. The study tested systems from 5 manufacturers over 4,000 miles and said they had issues every 8 miles. They recommend car companies limit the use in their models. Lisa Mateo, CBS News.
Released from prison a second time 2 weeks ago, former Trump attorney Michael Cohen has a job offer. A political action committee wants to use him as a consultant. Cohen is serving his sentence at home now and is writing a book critical of the president. In Los Angeles, the Grammy-winning music producer known as Detail has been arrested on more than a dozen charges of sexual assault. Last year, a woman was awarded $15 million in a lawsuit that accused him of rape. Well, 75 years ago today, World War II took a dramatic and deadly turn in Hiroshima, Japan.
We are delaying the start of our scheduled program to bring you the latest direct report on the atomic bomb attack on Japan.
It was on CBS Radio where Americans heard from correspondents like Webley Edwards report on the bombing of Hiroshima in Guam.
We talked with Colonel Paul W. Tibbetts, Jr. of Miami, Florida, pilot of the B-29 that dropped the first atomic bomb in history.
Hired in 1957, former CBS Radio correspondent Marvin Kalb worked with the generation of journalists who covered that bombing.
Everything was dependent upon what President Truman or his top officials wanted to share with the American people. And that was very, very little.
In fact, it would be weeks after the bombing, American journalists would even be allowed to report firsthand from the destroyed Japanese city. Steve Dorsey, CBS News, Washington.
A pro sports league that's now back in business has announced plans to give back, and fans could be among those who benefit.
The National Basketball Association's Board of Governors and its Players Association say they are creating a $300 million fund that will create a foundation focusing on economic empowerment in black communities. Each of the 30 teams in the NBA will donate $1 million annually to the foundation over the next decade. The NBA said its foundation will focus on three areas pertaining to employment, obtaining a first job, securing employment following high school or college, and then career advancement once employed. Bill Rakoff, CBS News.
A police department in Idaho tweeted, "This is Nampa, not Tampa." The astonishment was about the discovery of a 6-foot alligator in Nampa, Idaho. It was found under a camp trailer. Turns out it's someone's pet, and that's legal in the state with the right permits. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? Spoiler alert, it's neither. At Happy Egg, we believe happiness of the hens is what actually came first. Because without happy hens, there would be no such thing as happy eggs. You know, eggs with delicious orange yolks. Those come from hens who are raised the happy way on 8+ acres of family-owned farms. Choose happy at happyegg.com and look for the yellow carton at a store near you.
Happy
Egg.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The Hargan women seem to have it all.
From the outside looking in, we were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But as detectives would soon learn, there was a lot going on inside the Hargan household.
Ashley and I have been calling my mom and the house and Helen. Okay. No one's answering.
63-year-old Pamela Hargan gunned down in her own home. Her youngest daughter, Helen, lay dead upstairs.
Patrol, when they arrived, assumed or thought that there might have been a murder-suicide.
But for the detectives on the scene...
There were things about the scene itself that were concerning to us on day one.
Who would want to kill their mother and their little sister?
There is no boogeyman here. It is exactly who we think it is.
I'm Peter Van Sant from 48 Hours. This is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.